1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Paul Clark. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. You're at the Tina Healy Show, August Bank Holiday Monday, one of the biggest shows in the country.
Absolutely.
What did you see that was unusual, and why did you challenge them?
I actually was walking around the tent, the exhibitors, and I got quite a shock when I saw this Ford Transit with Church of Scientology plastered all over it. It was hidden. It was very well disguised in behind the other marquees. So I decided to walk around and follow where they were. And, of course, they had a different decoy. So I approached the people on the stand and asked them what they were doing and what was their game and what were they here for. And I asked them a lot of questions. They couldn't answer them. Then I put it to the guy, the gentleman, who was from Hungary, that they were the Church of Scientology. And he denied all that straight away. So I said, if you walk around the back of your tent, you'll see your vehicle has your name plastered all over.
And he was denying they were the Church of Scientology?
Absolutely, Joe, absolutely.
And why would he do that? Sure, they're a recognised, I think, charity organisation anyway. They have numerous properties in Ireland.
He asked me, would I step onto their small little tent they were using? For a stress test, and I pointed out I get a stress test with the bank manager every Friday, that I don't need one of those nonsense, as that thing is called a brainwash to find the weakest link in any human being. And with that, while I was standing talking to the guy, a guy came out of nowhere, and he actually said, this guy is right. He's pointing out, this is Scientology, take your children away. And they went ballistic then at that stage. They started taking their cameras out to take photographs, which I wouldn't allow them to do.
And your knowledge and suspicion of Scientology, Paul, comes from where, can I ask?
It was exposed by Gay Bourne many, many years ago on The Late Late Show.
That famous
where
late,
they,
yeah.
You know, there was, it was, it must have been 15, 20 years ago. And I seen it, and it's sort of, you know, I go to a lot of classic car shows around the country, and I was horrified to see that they were, you know, targeting young people, bringing them onto these stands, and saying, oh, we can do this for you, and giving out these free books and taking their names and address and follow on. I didn't agree with that. I thought the Tina Healy Show is a family recreation day for people, and they should not be allowed in. And
they paid to get in. They paid to set up
a site. I know they went, but Joel, they went in under falsified.
How do you know? No, in fairness, how do you know? How do you know that, Paul?
Well, I asked. I went to the organiser's office because I was so annoyed about it.
And said what? And asked
me. And I said, do you realise the Church of Scientology is here? And the woman says, where are they? And I said, oh, she said, they came in here, we thought it was something else. Well, I said, if you don't believe me, go for a walk down the field and you will see their marquee with their van behind it, a cream transit. But
you're adamant there's nothing on the stand that identifies them as Scientologists.
Absolutely, absolutely not. Joe.
Because we got called yesterday, they were at the Dublin Comic Con convention over the weekend, and they were giving out these same leaflets and stopping people, and it's mainly children who go to that now, Comic Con convention. But on the banner over their stand, the word Scientology did appear.
No, Joe, it didn't. It was a name, and I should have taken a photograph, or, you know, that I could remember. But I did my piece on the day. I made people aware. And the gentleman who did come up beside me went for them. And it turns out he had an injunction against him from protesting. He was a prison officer. And I met him. The guards came down. They didn't come near me. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I basically told him, no photographs. This, you should close up your marquee and go home. This is a family event for people. And it always has been. And the organisers said they apologised to me that they didn't even know they came in as a decoy.
But what do you mean? What do you mean a decoy?
A decoy means you're not what you were. It's like you're saying you're RTE, but you're
okay.
BBC.
I understand. But what was I understand? But what was the decoy? Like what did they say they were?
They said they were. I didn't want to understand, Joe. I spoke to them from a distance from their stand because I didn't want to get caught up in their thing. But I just started questioning who they were, and when the other guy came up and started saying, stay away from this, they became very hostile then at that stage.
And did they shut down the stand at the Tina Healy Show?
No, they kept it running for a while, but, you know, I made my feelings as everyone else did. Once people were aware, they moved away from the stand.
I wonder, did they turn up, and we know they turned up at the Dublin, well, they paid for the Dublin Comic Con convention. Did they turn up at the Tullamore show? Will they be turning up at the Ploughing?
Well, I would make people aware that they should not be allowed into that, because that's another iconic, fantastic show, and I'll be there myself, and if they are again, I'll expose them again. So they shouldn't be targeting. That's farming, and it's agriculture and whatever else. It's nothing to do with Scientology. You know, if they want to do what they want to do in Dublin, stay in Dublin and leave it at that.
Okay.
But don't be going down trying to brainwash people down the country, Joe.
Are there any other religion? I know people call Scientology a cult, but are any, they would call themselves a religion. But is there any other religious groups there? And you use that word broadly.
There is. There's the the Mormons. They're based down in, they were down in Newcastle. They have a big place in Newcastle in County Wicklow.
They were at the Tinahili show, were they?
No, they weren't there, Joe.
I mean at the show. Was there any other religious groups?
No, that was no one else. I did all the stands. I walked all the stands. You know, I could be looking for a bargain. I could be looking up for my car.
Say there, Paul. Mike Gard, Mike, good afternoon. Well-known expert in all these organisations. Mike, have the Scientologists changed their strategy in Ireland? They used to be...
This is what Paul is actually absolutely correct. In fact, the thing he just didn't remember, I actually got a call on the Monday from people down in County Wexford, because there's a very historic family connection down there where there was a kidnapping event of a family called Fortune, which we won't go into now, but the name of the group that was being used at Tinahili was Dianetics.
Dianetics, L. Ron Hubbard.
Is basically the science of the mind that L. Ron Hubbard discovered, and which he rebranded, and then he actually saw, well, if you want to actually get into the real business, you start a religion. And so Dianetics is included, but it, so therefore, technically, you mm-hmm. could say they were accurate in saying who they were. But in fact, everything they do is using front organizations. I think if you went online, you would discover there is at least around the world over 1,000 of these front groups that they use. For instance, the other one, at this one in Comic-Con, as you pointed out, I got a call on Saturday from someone literally taking photographs, including photographs of all the signatures of children that they had gathered, and because the children were under 18, the parents willingly handed over their actual private data to these folks without even realizing it.
But surely that contravenes GDPR.
Well,
to say the least,
I would imagine it does. But I don't know if you willingly agree to give over your information. That's your right. But obviously, if you don't know that it's actually something to do with Scientology, the guy that phoned me was actually visiting from Mayo, and he said, "Is this Scientology?" I said, "Well, it's Scientology," and as Paul has, he's just shown the causal link, because there was their van hiding behind in another area, which obviously, and they say, "Are you Scientologists?" And they answer no. So therefore they're lying, because they are Scientologists. Or if they're not Scientologists, there are people associated with Scientology.
In fairness, at those events, so I want to take out the word lying, but at those events, Mike, like, you can't park the van in front of the stand. You have to park it behind the stand.
Yeah, but you don't have it's likely, because...
But if they were trying to...
In 2016, they opened up a massive news centre, because L. Ron Hubbard in the 1950s lived on Merrion Square, and he opened up a centre. So they bought a very historic building right near the Oscar Wilde
beautiful building, yeah.
But when they had the opening, both then in 2016 and in 2017, guess what they did in regard to the media? They will not allow the media in to discuss what they're at. They do not give interviews, and they refuse to engage with the public. And then they bust in, or I should not say bust in, they actually brought aircraft full of people who were, if you look at the pictures on the day of the opening at both events, all those people were brought in by aircraft.
I see. And it was, and I didn't notice, L. Ron Hubbard first arrived in Dublin's Merrion Square in February of 1956.
Yeah.
To create the American College of Personnel Efficiency.
That's right.
A model for the first introductory course in Scientology. This is.
And there's actually a Scientologist, an older Irish guy, that's in his 90s now, that would be associated with those events. He's an amazing guy. I obviously don't tend to meet these guys because I'm a suppressive person, someone who can be lied to, given a knockout punch wherever they can. And I actually brought a group of people to their new place out in Furhouse, which was originally the Victory Church, which was another disaster zone, which was a prosperity church, which went down with 18 million of debt to the Bank of Scotland. I was going to say to the Church of Scotland, but it was the Bank of Scotland. And these guys picked up Scientology then, bought the place, and they have actually, I know quite a lot of these people because I've actually known about Scientology since my first meeting with them at the Manhattan Hotel in 1968 in New York, when I was my first visit to the United States.
And Mike, did you say there that you met someone who knew L. Ron Hubbard when he was living in Dublin?
Yeah, I know the guy, but he's actually still a member of the church.
Oh, is he? Okay.
I think his name is Duffy, like yourself. Mm. But he's a lovely guy.
Okay.
Again, and a lot of these guys are very nice people. And you know, there's been a major disaster zone with court cases about these people that were brought onto the stage with Tom Cruise about Dublin being, the work that they were doing against the drug trade. And if you look at the pictures on the reports coming from Comic-Con, it's interesting because there's all kinds of anti-drug literature. And this literature is excellent. But the problem is that not only is this excellent stuff that they have, but the problem is, in order to get this excellent stuff, they want you to join them to deal with drugs.
Because I have the package or the package that they gave out, and it's full of these leaflets. And they're, according to the leaflets, I haven't gone through them all. They're all based just on simple facts.
And they're fine in that regard.
Yeah, okay,
but if you understand that Scientology believes that psychiatry and the use of psychiatric drugs is absolutely, in other words, it's a Nazi discipline. In fact, they took over the RDS about 10 years ago.
Okay, well, then we've more sightings, so to speak. Organisers of the Tin Hilly Show, by the way, have been on to say they did know they were Scientologists.
Ah.
They did know they were Scientologists who paid for the stand. They can't say if they had their name on display, or they can't say if they were there in previous years. And to their knowledge, no other churches took stands at the show.
The issue is not whether they can go to these. I believe that any organization has a right to be present at any location. They're going to be giving this Dianetic stuff down in Cork this week. I think it's coming up pretty soon, these lectures. The problem is that most people don't make the association till it's too late. The fact that they were telling Paul they had nothing to do with Scientology shows that what he pointed out is correct. Their methodology is deny who you are and try to infiltrate. Mm-hmm. And when you do infiltrate, it's too late. They go down to the last year two years ago they were down in Punchestown.
Sorry, Mike, we're just getting a list of places they've been this year. Where are they getting the money to buy this? These are expensive shows to get into, to put up your stand.
Oh, that's no problem at all, because everything is funded, because the United States, after Bill Clinton, the Bush before him, they managed to infiltrate the IRS, and Scientology is regarded as a charitable organization. So they have masses of charitable donations.
Okay, and what are they regarded as here in Ireland, Mike?
Oh, if you, Paul made a very interesting reference. I think it's the 18th of February, 1995, was the Late Late Show, which Jerry Ryan thought was one of the best TV shows ever, where this issue comes up. It's on our blog if anybody wants to watch it. It's a wonderful reproduction of the show. But on that show, Jared Ryan, who was a spokesperson, was asked by Stephen O'Brien, who at that time worked for The Independent, currently at writing for The Sunday Times, "Have you got charitable status yet?"
Yeah.
In 1995. They still haven't got it to this day in regard to what are the purposes of charity. First of all, to relieve poverty, the furtherance of religion, and thirdly, to assist in education or other.
Okay, let me say that, Mike. 51551 joe@rt.ie. John Rogan is in Rathone in Westmeath. John, good afternoon. Where did you spot the Scientologists?
I spotted them in at Sloan Show and Mullingar Show.
How recently?
Well, let me see, in the last month.
Okay, when you say you spotted them, well, like they were walking around or they had stands?
Well, no, they had their nice tent set up.
Yeah.
They had a place for people to go in and lie down and get some relaxation or whatever it was. And then they had another tent. And it was a terribly wet day in Athlone. And I sat into the tent and they put this device on my finger and they told me about my stress levels and to be able to determine my stress levels. So they asked me to think about something that would drive this meter up, and I said yes, I would be able to do that. And really, you wouldn't want to be passing too much remarks with them, I think, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe they're not harmless, but I'd regard them as more comical than anything else, the carry-on of them, you know.
Why? Why do you say that, John?
Well, to think that people would believe, like, this meter and we're going to be able to tell you stuff about yourself and everything like this, you know. More like voodoo sort of stuff than anything else.
And by the way, did they profess to be Scientologists? Was the name up outside? Can you remember?
I think there was a name on T-shirts. I think they had their... On a T-shirt, I think there was, on the back of the T-shirts, there was a reference to Scientology or, you know, something like that. But I think anybody that would know anything would know who they were. Do you know what I mean? Maybe there are still some people gullible enough.
Mike, what do you think of that point? That most people would now be aware of the ins and outs of Scientology. And
I would absolutely disagree. I believe that most people, he says that gullible, every single Irish person is gullible. Every single Irish person can come under undue influence. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. The most, Mary Johnson, the woman who took the court case that's mentioned on the Late Late Show back in 1995, she later went on to take them to court. And there was they were revealing the private issues about her health and this stuff. Went to the courts and she won a massive kind of judgment against them. But this influence is underlying, and they've now tried to move into the drugs area. And in Baliva, County Meath, they were just about to complete a massive drug centre, which was called Narconon, which again, when you asked them originally, oh, it's got nothing to do with Scientology. It's totally independent. It's part of the... It's the methodology of how they deal with people. Your man got a stress test there, or he got some kind of relief, and the guy might have had on his T-shirt, in that show, it might have been Scientology volunteer. When he went to the one in Tinahili, it was Dianetics, and no mention of Scientology.
Okay, and then
they got away with it a couple of years in a row, then they get more public. But when they are starting off, they use the front group, and then people don't know. They certainly didn't know down at the convention centre what they were dealing with, and that's why I'm saying I have no problem if it says this is a stand of the Church of Scientology, this is their comical unit, or there's the comical alley dimension, that's fine. But to say that people... I'm afraid I just have to 100% disagree, because I have 50 years' experience of working with the victims of Scientology, and it is actually, in my view, it is a intelligence organisation. It's actually trying to undermine the state of Ireland, as it is. Its objective, as stated, is to clear the planet. That is their goal.
Yeah. Well, indeed, Joe.
Yeah, just John, yes. Yes. By the way, they were at the Oldcastle show in Meade as well about a month ago. They bought us down there.
It was actually Dianetics.
That's
that
the one,
yes.
That's okay. Right, John.
Yes.
So Dianetics is the original kind of mishmash that L. Ron Hubbard linked together. There's a lot of information on these groups, but the problem is that we just don't have the time nowadays to study things because, you know, but unfortunately they're trying to get into schools, and I've looked at the personnel they've sent over here. These are what's called the C organization. The C organization is an organization which Louis Theroux, did any of you see that program that he did where he actually couldn't talk to them because they don't talk to anybody? So he reproduced by bringing in actors what happens, and then he confronted them down in Gold Base, which is down in Southern California, on the street, and they claimed they owned the street. As it turned out, he was right, and they didn't own the street. But that's the kind of gas that's going on. But nobody knows what they're at because they do not. They're not an open organization. The Sea Org, guess what the contract terms are? And there's a guy called John Deignan down in Cork who tells the story in his book, which he experienced. Mm-hmm. He was 23 years in that Sea Org. It's like a paramilitary organization. And that in that organization, you take a billion-year contract. Guess why? Because Scientologists believe you're going to do a return visit. And so what we don't really know is where L. Ron Hubbard has reappeared. He might be any day now reappearing on planet Earth or Tigliak or whatever they want to call it. It's mind-boggling. Their beliefs are... And nobody couldn't care less what people believe. It's what they're doing to people in terms of recruitment, in terms of infiltration of Irish society. They're waiting for some TD who's had an affair. They've got to go through the rubbish box and find this stuff.
Yeah, but now hold your horse now for a minute, Mike. Well, what do you say to people like Frank? I'll have him up in a sec. People like Frank saying, sure, what they're legal. What's the difference between them and any other church?
Well, the question is to their legality. You mean, yes, they have a company system.
Yeah.
One of their companies was nearly bankrupt for most of, after that court case, they had to get the money paid from the states, which is very unusual. Their mission closed down on Middle Abbey Street, and now when you phone their offices, which I often do, and I talk to some normal people in there before they get brainwashed not to talk to me, there's often nobody in the place. These buildings are buildings. That's all they are. For instance, they're opening them for Heritage Week, so people can actually go this Friday, Saturday and Sunday into their building, but you have to apply to them, and then they will, most probably, people like me, they'll tell me I can't go in, and yet it's supposed to be open to the public. That they did that last year. These are purely ways to not actually communicate with the public, but to do propaganda exercises. If they were genuine, they would take part in the public debate.
Okay, Mike, I'll take a break in a sec. But Mike, do you know, are there any families in Ireland trying to get relations out of the Church of Scientology?
It's happened currently, before. Currently, there are historic families. I changed my approach because there was a group called Anonymous that was founded in 2008. And it went on for about, you know, the guts of 10 years. But then the whole thing fell apart. So I kind of, you know, when you've got ex-Scientologists, there's a guy called Pete Griffith who does excellent work monitoring this and helping families. At the moment, the reason that there are very few Irish people involved is because they are not able to recruit anybody. Everybody, they're putting millions here. And as I said, they've decided on a strategy of putting massive resources. You don't buy an ex-church which nobody could fill for $6 million, and I would imagine they put $10 million into it. They've tried to recruit people from the local Tala community there by having Christmas fairs and making the football pitches and everything available to the public to use. But nobody knows what they're at. When I went in there for lunch one day, there was hardly anybody in the place. And the lady at the desk said, well, what would you like? And I said, and there was a like kind of children's menu kind of thing with burgers and this type of thing. So I said, and she said, I have a special stew for you. So we all sat down and had the stew. Next thing, this lady who runs the thing, she came in a kind of a black uniform that looked like the SS to me. But yeah, her name was Stahl.
Okay, we'll leave out those references just for a sec, Mike. Mike, I have other people who they were at the Cork Summer Show, but I'll talk to those people after the break. But they were under the Dianetics banner, not Scientology.
Sure, hold on here, please. I'll stay with you.
51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715
815. Joe at RT. Listen to one clip from that famous Late Late Show. Every Late Late Show is famous. 1995, Gayborn talking to an Irish woman. I think her name is Mary Johnson, if my memory, Mike might remember, to an Irish woman who'd been a member of the Scientologists but had then left the church.
Was there pressure brought to bear upon you when you were getting out or at any time while you were in, when you first began to voice your reservations?
From whom? From the church?
From the church, yes.
Well, I didn't actually voice my reservations to the church. By the time my family had intervened, I had made a commitment to the church that I was going to give up my business and move to England and work for the church for 1 billion years. Because at that stage, I believed in reincarnation, which I don't believe in.
1 billion years?
Yeah, just 1 billion years.
And they had got their influence had got you to the point of almost selling up your business, is that so?
Yes. It was their suggestion was that I would be more fulfilled in Scientology and would not be a good idea if I sold my business.
Okay.
And that was Mary Johnson on that Late Late Show talking about Scientology. This is, if I can get it up here, this is one of the more animated debates on that particular Late Show. It was John Farrell, and John used to work for the Jerry Ryan Show. Remember, there's two Jerry Ryans been mentioned. Our Jerry Ryan, so to speak, who died a decade ago, unfortunately. And the other person is Gerard Ryan, who used to run the Scientology office in Abbey Street in Dublin. And it was very controversial because they would stand on the street offering passers-by, invariably young people, to come in for personality tests. This is one piece from the Late Late.
Sit here and pretend that we are all fundamentally bigots and attacking your religion. No, wait a second, because you're not listening to what we're saying, nor are you listening to what the issues are at stake here. Over two-thirds of your membership, of your new members, are people who are aged, who are under 25.
Have you done Scientology?
Can I go on?
How many courses have you done?
Well, I've done the one-day course. I did my 50, and I read Dianetics. And I have...
Excuse me,
you're not listening. First of all, most... I did have a beard, and I didn't give a false name. Excuse me.
What's wrong with having a beard?
And I didn't give a false name.
Well, yes, you did.
Give a false name, and you told me that he was going out for a Coke, and we never saw him again until the next day.
This event took place over 3 years ago.
Yes.
And I find it astonishing that your members of this religion have nothing better to do with yourselves than just concentrate on these petty hatreds and injuries you think were done to you. Okay. It's astonishing. Now, wait a second. The fact of the matter is that your religion is more like Freemasonry than Catholicism. It is not based on open and available texts.
Right.
It is based on a secret hierarchy of confidential initiation. You know perfectly well that only one out of 1,000 members gets to be on class 12.
Who brought this wonderful spokesperson?
Okay. Do you deny that this is your own structure of your hierarchy?
The bridge.
This is mine.
Let me show that.
Wait a second. This gentleman says that that's mine. Is that not published in a book called What is Scientology, published by Bridge Foundation?
The next day you were on the Jerry Ryan Show and you were slandering my religion again. And I take exception to that.
No, I take exception that you take advantage of the vulnerable and the young to isolate them and brainwash them into believing that your system is somehow the only way of thinking or living.
There you have it. The great days. The great debate. Incredible debate. By the way, most of that's on YouTube. And Mike Gard said it's on your website as well. Joe O'Brien, Joe, the Cork Summer Show, Scientology. What did you see? You there, Joseph?
Yes, good afternoon, Joe. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. What did you see at the Cork Summer Show?
Yeah, I was. I had a trade stand at the Cork Summer Show.
Yeah.
And my neighbours were these Dianetics guys, and they were, there must have been about 9 of them at this trade stand, and they were offering free stress tests to anybody that passed by.
Okay.
So it was on for 2 days, and they were there for 2 days, and I was there for 2 days, obviously. So I got talking to them quite a bit, and I must say they were very very impressive.
Yeah.
That in what they were saying and how they approached people and how they got people in to do the stress test. Basically, once you agreed, you went in and you sat down and you had a one-to-one with one of them. They handed you two kind of electrodes or rods, which was connected to some kind of a meter, though it looked like something out of the 1960s, to be honest with you. But obviously...
Okay, so what does the meter do when you have these two rods in your hand?
Well, they would ask you. No, I didn't do it, but I questioned a number of people that did do it.
Okay.
Like I said, how did you get on there? You know, and they were saying, oh, it's a bit of a joke. And one particular guy said like that, they could see them kind of pressing something when you answered the question, and obviously the meter kind of flew up, and almost everybody kind of failed. Everybody was under stress.
Yeah, and of course.
So,
yeah, yeah.
So then the whole idea of it was they were trying to sell this book. This book by
Ron Hubbard.
Hubbard.
Yeah.
And I think that retailed at €20. And that was the...
And were they running the stand and encouraging people to do the stress test and discovering that every Irish, whoever came into the tent at the Cork Summer Show, that everyone who came in was actually overstressed and needed to do something about it. And I presume that's what leads you to Scientology. The people who were administering this bizarre test... What any idea where they were from?
Yeah, when you're there for 2 days they're your next door neighbor as such, I tend to talk to a lot of people, and I obviously when I heard who they were and when I heard this guy Hubbard, I kind of in the back of my head that was the guy that was associated with Scientology. Yeah. So I said, is this a bit of a kind of a an underhanded way of doing
because they were calling themselves Dianetics, the Scientology wasn't up there.
No, I have to say again, like, I mean, they were very, very nice people.
Yeah, of course.
Very, very, very convincing. One particular guy was a Dublin man in his mid-50s. Very nice guy. But the majority of them seemed to be Italians.
Okay. That's the Cork Summer Show. You said you were very nice. Do you think did they take names and addresses? As far as you know, Joe.
I don't believe so. I didn't see them taking any names, and nobody told me that they took any names.
Because Mike Gard, we're getting sightings, so to speak, of this. They obviously have a lot of money. Because Patsy Carty, where did you see the Scientologist stand?
In Fairyhurst Market on a Sunday there, about 6 to 8 weeks ago.
And what's the nature of their stand? I thought the Fairy House Market is like a car boot sale, is it?
It is a type of car boot sale, yeah.
And what?
There's a big tent there, yeah.
And what was going on in the tent?
Well, when I walked by, they asked me had I any pains or aches, and I said, yeah, my back was up. So they brought me in and laid me down on a bench.
Yeah.
And started. Then this other guy came in and he started running his hands all over me, and you'll feel better after all this and that. And
hang on, was he doing physiotherapy on you, Patsy?
Well, I thought that's what he was going to do, but I knew well it wasn't physiotherapy.
What was it?
It was not much. It was just a ruse to get you in.
So, hang on, you're walking by a tent at the Fairy House Market.
Yeah.
Someone you've never met before says, how are you feeling? Have you any aches or pains?
Yeah.
I think 9 out of 10 of us would say yes.
Yeah.
You said yes, I have a pain in my back.
Yeah.
And in jig time, you're lying on your belly on a couch.
Yeah.
And you've this stranger placing his healing hands on your back.
Yeah.
Had you drink taken, Patsy?
No, not at that time of the day.
Shame, man. Well, how did that finish for a finish, as they say?
Well, they asked me then for my name and address and phone number. So I didn't know they were Scientologists at that stage.
Okay.
So I gave them my name and address, and then they gave me the booklet.
Yeah.
And it was only when I came outside the tent and I looked at the booklet, I realised, oh, these are Scientologists.
Okay.
But they rang me then about 10 days or maybe 2 weeks later. See, was they interested in them.
And well, like, what can you remember what their formula of words? Do you remember how they phrased it, Patsy? Or
they just asked me, was I interested in them and that? And I said, no, I'd realised who they were then.
Did they say to you, how's your back, Patsy?
No, they didn't.
So they weren't exactly interested in healing your back,
not
were they?
Not at all. No, they weren't.
And was there many other people going in and laying down?
Well, there was a few. Yeah, there was a few there waiting to go in. When I was coming out, there was a few more going in. I don't think they realised. There's nothing on them to say they were Scientologists.
Yeah, but Patsy, say, which would be, and back pain is horrific as well, but say I'm walking by, have you any eggs? Well, actually, I suffer from migraine.
Yeah.
Where's their training to do anything about your back?
Not at all. Not the way they looked at and put their hands on me. There's no way I knew well because I got been with.
By the way, every stand or car or stall pays to get into the Fairy House.
Oh,
market,
they do,
yeah. Yeah, they do. I know they do. Okay.
But they would have known, yeah.
And Patsy, let me ask you, how is your back? Seriously, can you get any relief? Or?
No, it's all right now, but it's relief at the time, no.
Okay, and does physio ever work on it, given that they were...
I'm actually getting physio on my neck now at the moment.
Okay.
But it's a different... No, I'm not going to them.
Okay. Patsy, thanks indeed. That's Patsy Carty.
God
bless you. Desmond O'Donnell in Tipperary. Desmond, your connection... what happened?
It happened. Terrible accident. No, look, I'll tell you. First time I'd ever been in the Scientology Centre in Dublin, okay?
Yeah.
I was up there with my kids. They had a dancing competition up there, okay?
In the venue, yeah.
I'd have to say, my experience there, even the venue now, was absolutely fabulous.
Oh, we know. But Desmond, we're going to have to get a better line because we know the venue is absolutely fabulous because they spent a lot of money buying it and refurbishing it. There's no issue about the venue. It's beautiful by all accounts. But anyway, we'll try and get a better line for Desmond after this break. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And joe@rt.ie. Philip, good afternoon. Philip, your point, please.
Yeah, I was just listening to that gentleman at the beginning of the show. And to be honest with you, I think it's a lot of scaremongering. I mean, people, as far as I'm concerned, are not that daft. People know what they want, they do what they want, they see Scientology signs, they pass it by if they want to pass it by, they go in if they want to go in. At the end of the day, this is a country that has been run by a church for a lot of years. They ran our education system years ago, they ran our government, they've got millions in donations. They've built churches in every parish in Ireland. It's a very rich society. And that's the religion we recognise. And yet we're afraid of somebody coming and opening a stand.
Now, hang on. First of all, they didn't run our government, to my knowledge.
Okay. Secondly,
as Leo Varadkar said, whether you like it or I like it, well, as Leo Varadkar said last August in Dublin Castle when... Pope Francis was welcome to Ireland, that without the church, and now I know I'm going to get the heads whacked off me on Twitter or wherever else they're at today, without the church in Ireland, we wouldn't have had the hospitals and we wouldn't have had the schools because the church stepped in when the state couldn't do it or wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, that's really more about the government than it is about the church.
The other argument to that is,
right. If Scientologists were going to provide those systems, then are we going to welcome them in? I mean, it really should have been the church. It really should have been the state and not the church that you provided all.
No, here, I know that, but they didn't.
No.
They didn't.
But does that mean that we depend on the next person to come in to provide these things for us? We should be able to provide these things for ourselves, and we shouldn't be influenced by religion, be it scientific, be it Catholic, whatever.
Philip, have you ever heard of families, and there's quite a few of them in Ireland, passionately and feverishly trying to get their relations out of the Catholic Church, whereas we have heard it about trying to get their relations out of the Church of Scientology?
I've heard it, I don't know. Tom Cruise looks good on it, that's all I know. I don't know how hard people have tried. I genuinely don't know the details of that. And what does it mean by how hard it is? What do they mean by that? I mean, are these people locked up? Or what do they mean by finding it hard to get it out of it? Trying to get it out of their head? Or I don't know what that means.
Okay, let me bring in Mike Gard. Mike, what do you think of Philip's argument, which is an argument that, like, we have the Catholic Church in Ireland, what's wrong with the Scientologists?
First of all, as someone who's dealing with a massive amount of Catholic-related groups, as you know, with the Palmarians and with the House of Prayer, which is kind of gone off the menu and Cardinal Brady has gone missing. But basically, I believe that this issue is not about religion because, in my view, Scientology is not a religion. In any case, the issue we're dealing with is the use of front organizations. So when you go to the plowing fair and you find a group called themselves the Plow, but actually it's the Catholic Church and Opus Dei behind it, that's a little bit different from someone having a stand like Baptists or Presbyterian mission in Ireland. You know exactly what you're dealing with. With these guys, as we've just had the evidence, are using these places to recruit people, and they're not mentioning who they are. And in fact, in Tina Healy, the guy said it's got nothing to do with Scientology, even though Paul found the van with their name on it, you know. So
but when did Philip, go ahead, Philip.
Philip, hang on, Mike.
What I'm saying is, they are being recruited. People are being recruited. They don't know what they're being recruited into.
Mike, hang on.
Over by the churches.
Yeah, okay, Mike.
Rather
just,
than the other way around.
Okay, Mike. Just
if
let
you
Philip.
Go to the Mercy Hospital, or if okay. you go to any of these places. They did wonderful work at the Martyr, where they provided kind of hospital care throughout the whole of Africa and Pakistan. The role of missionaries
okay.
in regard to
now, Mike, just hold. I want that. Philip wants to ask you a question. Go ahead, Philip.
Certainly do.
I was just wondering who is sitting down in these places being recruited into something they don't know they're being recruited in. They must be. These are people. Maybe I don't have a very good education, but I'm educated enough to know that if somebody's recruiting me into something, I have to know what I'm being recruited into. If I'm parting with money, I have to know what I'm parting my money for. People know these things. People are not as stupid as you're making them out to be.
There's not a question
That's
of stupidity. It's a question of transparency. It's quite clear that the goal of Scientology is to infiltrate Irish society using front organisations. It's common to political
but
groups.
But it can't be church of inside.
They aren't a church in this country. They do not have recognition as a church. So they may call themselves a church. The Irish state has not recognized them as a charitable entity, and they've been in this country for 63 years. So they can't claim to be a charity. They're not doing anything to relieve poverty. They're not doing anything for educational purposes. In fact, they're trying to insert themselves into every area, whether it be the drugs work, whether it be into education, whether it be in the area of health. You've seen these so-called techniques of mental health. They believe that if you take psychiatric drugs, you are involved in a Nazi discipline. They do not believe in psychiatry. That is the reality.
How successful are they?
They're absolutely non-successful. But my point is, because they're not successful, doesn't mean that we should help them to become successful by not being alert to the fact that they've, I would say, in the last 5 years, invested over $40 million in this country.
In Ireland. Let me bring Paul Flynn, Monaghan. Stay there, Philip, please.
Joe, I'm going.
Okay, thanks, Philip. 51551, Monaghan, Philip, Paul. Paul Flynn.
Yes, Joe.
You've been to Florida.
Oh, I have. It's just an observation. I've been a number of times to Clearwater.
Okay.
In Florida, and that seems to be their headquarters. I'm told they own half the city there nearly, and any property that was up for sale, they're in purchasing. But you see a lot of their personnel about, and they're dressed, very well-dressed suits and collars and ties and in a warm climate, it's a bit incongruous, and they'd all have a briefcase, but now they're probably a fight pad. Just that observation.
And were you tempted to go into this?
No, I wasn't. I was just circulating around Clearwater.
You see, the minute you say that, and I take your points very well, but the minute you say that, people such as Philip, who has a legitimate point of view, would say, well, the Vatican is a very wealthy place.
Oh, I know.
You know what
certainly.
I mean?
So, yeah, I'm not saying they're not, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. That's Paul
right,
Finn.
Joe,
God bless you. Angela, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are
Another
you?
Another Heritage Week is on. Is it this
Heritage
week?
It's starting on the 17th, Joe, this coming weekend for a week.
Okay.
No, it's just that last week I was browsing through the booklet I picked up, and on page 87, there was an open house and guided tour of 4 Merrion Square North, and it's a fully restored Georgian building, registered with the Georgian Society, and then there are tours every 15 minutes, tea, coffee, refreshments. So the organiser is the Church of Scientology National Affairs Office.
Which
and
is,
you contact...
That is the National Affairs Office, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But being affiliated to the Georgian Society, I suppose it comes under the auspices of all the other heritage bodies, presumably.
Well, are there other... are there other religious groups that are opening up any of their premises on...
Yes, of course, yeah. There's, well, just... It's actually in the booklet there, on the previous page there, page 86, there's St. Patrick's Cathedral... And then there is...
But that's all, because St. Patrick's Cathedral is open every day anyway.
It is, but it's almost free for Heritage Week. You give a kind of a voluntary donation, which is really sort of a small admission fee normally, as far as I know. But, I mean, that's probably beside... But there are quite a few so-called religious buildings and...
So why did that one jump out at you, Angela, or did you just spot it?
I'm just surprised that... Because I suppose it's the aura associated with Scientology more than anything else. On reflection, I was thinking, gosh, it's a very easy, not easy, but acceptable way, I suppose, maybe if they are proselytising or whatever, it's a nice way of, no, I'm not saying they are, but if it's a nice way of becoming mainstream to a great, like the shows you were talking about, it's sort of the all mainstream part of our general everyday culture, in a sense. And then to get into the Heritage Week, you get quite a lot of people... On the other hand, it could be a lovely building. I haven't been in it.
Well, I pass the outside of it every single evening. It's a magnificent building, as they are in Merrion Square. My card, by the way, was number 4 Merrion Square North. Is that where L. Ron Hubbard lived when he was in Dublin?
He actually lived on the... where the church is now. I think it's on the opposite side, which would be what you would call the south end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, and let me bring... Desmond is back on. Better line, I hope. Desmond. You were in their magnificent headquarters in Talla.
Yeah, but of course, absolutely fabulous. I thought the place was, to be honest. It was probably very, very clean throughout the whole place. It was for my children's dancing competition.
Yeah. And was it just a venue or the Scientologists organised it?
It was a national dancing competition from dance clubs across the country, hosting like jazz, lyrical, modern, and hip hop.
Yeah, but you don't think it was organised by the Scientologists?
No, it wasn't organised by the Scientologists. Okay. It was, I presume it was some sort of national body or whatever.
Yeah, well, their venue, they advertise the venue for hire, don't they? I think it's very good rates.
Yeah.
It's very good rates as well.
Yeah. Out of pure curiosity for myself, I went to one of their services there, which lasted about half an hour.
Okay.
And, I inquired at the counter as well about, you know, different stuff regarding Scientology, and they put that thing on my finger to test my stress levels.
And how was your stress levels?
Just fairly relatively good, I think, you know.
Okay. And what did the service consist of?
I honestly can't remember now. There was nothing really regarding Bible readings or anything like that in it. But it was just basically a very cordial meeting. Now, maybe it wasn't the full service or whatever, but it was like half an hour, and the guy who was the pastor or whatever, you know, he was well-dressed, you know, he looked very neatly and well-turned out, like I thought, you know.
And did he say anything memorable? Like, did he give a sermon or...?
It was almost like a well-being sort of, you know, feeling kind of sermon, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't really even a sermon, I wouldn't say, you know what I mean? But, I was given a tour of the gym and of the health stuff that they're into there, and I thought this kind of stuff is very enlightening. I thought, they seem to be all about well-being of the individual or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, I've gone to Jehovah's Witnesses before, and I've gone to the Baptist Church, and I've, you know, like, almost like a wedding crasher, you know?
Well, compare and contrast. Which one were you attracted to most or found most meaningful?
To be honest, I found them all very beneficial, to be honest. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even the Catholic Church readings, like, I've found interesting from time to time, like, you know, depending on who's reading, like, you know? But,
Have you been tempted to join any of the groups that you saw on your tour?
Well, I'm sure some of the churches would probably like me to join, but, like, you know, I'm busy. I've got too much of my time is taken up at the moment with this, okay, that, and the other, like, you know? And, like, Dublin is a bit far for me to get involved with Scientology, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And Desmond, can I ask, to use that age-old Irish phrase, were you born into any religion, so to speak?
Oh, Catholicism, same as the rest of us just about here in the country, you know? But, I personally found it very enlightening up there in Dublin the day I was there. Like, I never witnessed anybody going around harassing people or trying to round up people to join the club, like, you know?
Okay.
You know, like, I get Jehovah's Witnesses coming around to my house on, you know, probably every couple of months, like, you know, and they're polite, cordial, you know what I mean? And you can talk about their religion if you want, or you can discuss religion with them if you want, or theology or whatever, or, I've gone to their Kingdom Hall, checked it out, and... You know, just a lovely bunch of people, you know, and, you know, I honestly don't get what all these people are going on about when they're referring to these religions as cults or whatever. Like,
what is the difference between, to take Desmond's question, thanks Desmond for your question, why is Scientology referred to as a cult?
Well, first of all, any group can be a cult, so the question of... We in Dialogue Ireland, we refer to cultism, the phenomenon where any group under undue influence can exercise undue influence over people. That's what I would see. Wherever undue influence, and that can happen in the Catholic Church, Church of Ireland, and it's not about beliefs. That's where historically you'd say, well, they're a cult because they don't believe in the teachings of the Catholic Church or the Church of Ireland or whatever it happens to be. Now we understand it as psychological processes. Here the issue that we're dealing with is that at Comic-Con, people thought that they were just doing something connected to the specifics of comedy, not realizing that this particular stand was connected to the Church of Scientology, even though there might have been some minor reference to it. But certainly at the Dianetics one, who's going to know that Dianetics is an expression of Scientology? Nobody. That's why they use it. Because when they were asked, have you anything to do with Scientology? They said no. Paul heard them. He carried.
Okay, you made that point. Okay.
Yeah, but like these places have a door, have front doors. Like, you know,
okay.
you don't have a front door at a convention center where you come in under false pretenses.
Yeah, but if you don't like what you're hearing, you can actually
walk out. To their headquarters, nobody, no journalist, and this Heritage Week is going to be interesting to see how many people will turn away because you have to write to them or phone them and ask for permission. When I went with a group of people to have lunch at this place where you went, by the way, they do rent the place out as the church before them did. They had, they had Jedwith up there when it was a church. That's got one of the best recording areas and facilities in the country, but it's unfortunately in the middle of nowhere. For, you know, like if it was in Grafton Street, it would be a fantastic venue, but unfortunately where it is, it doesn't tend to lend itself to being used, and that's why it went bankrupt, because the people who are running it didn't do their sums properly because they were under undue influence to their ideology.
Yeah, but getting back to the cult... Get back to the cult stuff, like, you know what I mean?
But we're not always calling them a cult. What we're calling about is the use of buildings, and why would they not invite the press in? Why do they not openly? I would suggest that the lady that's in charge, who's now not an Irish person where it was an Irish, but they brought in a Bulgarian woman to be the head, that she should be invited to come on to Liveline or to do a public interview where she can discuss all these points or even invite Joe and the program into the center or into the other place to actually hear.
I don't know your name, sorry, but Mike, the day I was up there now, it was one occasion or two, I can't remember now exactly, but... when I was there for my kids' dancing competition,
yeah,
like the doors weren't locked, You know what I mean? If a journalist wanted to walk in there, they could have quite easily walked into the place.
But unfortunately, the journalists that have walked in there have walked out very quickly. They will not interview. All the major newspapers have tried to interview them. As I told Joe, you most of you missed that, Joe, that when they opened those places, they brought all the people in by aircraft from.
Well, Mike, you could actually say that I unofficially interviewed them myself.
You were on the inside because you were in a dancing competition. But if I went to their restaurant,
but I actually went to a service as well.
That's fine. I'm not suggesting you didn't, but I'm suggesting that you're not understanding what the actual undue influence has been exercised on people in the neighbourhood of Tala and in the neighbourhood.
We'll hear from people.
But the undue influence could be seen across the country in banks or wherever. Like, you know what I mean?
There's banks, every influence, the Catholic Church, you have influence, I have influence. The question is, I had great teachers, I was under great influence, but the question is, was I under undue influence to do that which is not what
I
wanted to do?
Leave it at that for the time being. Angela,
to be honest, I think we need more influence on the streets, because you look at the crime rates going across the country here, and young kids getting abused, you know what I mean? Every week there's some sort of scandal going on. So, maybe we do need to get back to some sort of, spiritual sort of education.
They're a criminal conspiracy, in my belief.
Stop, will you? Stop.
Okay,
I've studied them for over 60 years.
Okay, Desmond O'Donnell, Mike Gard of Dialogue Ireland, Angela, Paul, Philip, Patsy, Joe O'Brien, John Regan, Paul Clark. I should note, by the way, in the last few minutes, as people unfortunately were dreading, the body found in the search for Nora Quirin has been identified by her parents as their 15-year-old daughter. May she rest in peace.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Sarah Roach is from Wexford. Sarah, what happened with you and the Scientologists? It's Church of Scientology, they call themselves.
About 25, 26 years ago, I had a friend that was involved in Scientology, and she gave me a book to read.
Yeah.
Now, she had gone to their centre in Dorset a couple of times. This is when I was living in England.
Okay.
And she persuaded me to go with her for a session which was going to take all day, and I think it was about £50 for the session. And they brought me off, it was like an office building.
Yeah.
And they brought me off into a room, and they put me into a relaxed state and brought me back to maybe a traumatic time in my childhood, and worked through it. Anyway, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. they told me that they could help me further if I gave them 15,000. And if I didn't have it, that could I borrow it? And they asked me to borrow it even off of my partner at the time.
Wow.
Would I borrow the money from him?
And why? What did they say the money was for?
This was to go towards helping me with any kind of emotional issues that I had at the time. This was going to pay for it all. And if I couldn't come up with the money, I could work for them.
And this would solve all your problems? And what? Which they had diagnosed...
Yeah, that I had emotional problems that they could help me with.
But how did that end up, as they say?
Well, I was moving to Ireland at the time. They knew that I was moving, and they said, we have centres in Ireland. You could go to the centres in Dublin, mm-hmm. and you could help work in there or, help set up new ones. And they were very, they didn't leave me alone, and they were contacting me. My friend was badgering me to go back to them. She actually remortgaged her house to pay for, now I don't know what ever happened to that girl, because when I moved over here, I never kept in contact with her.
Let me bring Anne-Marie Taylor in. I'm just looking at more stuff on Twitter about powerful testimony about different forms of abuse in different churches. Anne-Marie Taylor, Anne-Marie, what was your connection with the Church of Scientology?
Okay, what happened to me was that when I was 15 years old, I went on a school trip to London,
mm-hmm.
and I they recruited me, basically. Well, they tried to recruit me. They said that they were going to give me a personality test. And,
And okay.
They said that it would take 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And actually, it didn't take 5 minutes. It took about 20 minutes. I was actually 15 and on a school trip. Then what they did was they got me in a side room on my own with two adults, and they basically bullied me into paying £16 to buy a book on Scientology, and they wouldn't let me out of the room until I'd given them the money.
What were the results of your personality test, as they call it?
The personality test showed that I was a terrible case and that I had lots wrong with my personality.
Yeah.
And the only way to fix it was to part with this cash and to sign up for other courses with them, which luckily I managed to not do. Being a child, I would have only had a limited amount of money on me anyway.
Anne-Marie, what was the sanction if you didn't? What were the prospects for you if you didn't sign up to their courses?
Well, I would have a terrible personality. Oh. My life would be wrecked. Oh. I was a child at this time, and I was in a room with two adults who wouldn't let me out unless I agreed to buy this book, which I ended up doing.
By the way, were you attracted into them, so to speak, or did they stop you on the street?
What happened is that I was with a friend. We were on a school trip, and we'd been, crazy as it seems, we'd been given an hour to wander around on our own.
Okay.
In London. And right. Pretty much as soon as we started wandering, we were stopped by these people who said that there was a free personality test we could do and it'd take 5 minutes, and we thought it would be fun. And that's what it ended up with. It ended up with us spending half an hour basically being bullied separately. We were separated.
Yeah.
And they took the cash off us to give us this book. You know, for me, it felt like at 15, there was no way I could get out of the room without giving them the money.
And Sarah Roach in Wexford now, thanks Anne-Marie Taylor, stay there for a second. Sarah Roach, your friend who remortgaged her house, is she still a member of the Church of Scientology?
I have no idea whether she is or not, but she remortgaged her house to give them money to do the courses.
Unbelievable.
It was, I mean, they're very persuasive, and they do. Now, she was in a particular time in her life where she was very vulnerable herself. She just separated from her husband, and they prey on that.
Yeah.
They do kind of manipulate you into thinking that you need their help, and that's the only answer.
Okay.
Now, my partner was adamant and said to me at the time, you know, that this is just a scam. They're just trying to get money out of you. This is, you know, I did listen to him.
Okay. More on that tomorrow, I'm sure. Today's producer. Thanks, Anne-Marie, and thanks, Sarah. Angus McInerney, producer. Brenda Donoghue is next.